Thank you, Caleb. And we are sure that you're going to graduate. And we will miss you and hope that you're back to either visit us or stay in the area. We would love that too. This morning I have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker. He is not only a good friend of mine, but a former coworker and a mentor. Mel and I met back in 2001-ish, before some of you were born. We worked together at Regular Baptist Press, and Mel was the editor of our youth materials, and I was the business director there, and just getting started in youth ministry. So Mel, who had been a youth pastor and had been writing and speaking in youth ministry, just was a great encouragement for me as a young man getting started in youth ministry in my second career. And so we got to work closely together, go to conferences together, and then for many years following that, as I brought my own youth groups to Baptist Bible College for teen leadership conferences, Mel headed up that conference, was a speaker at it, so we were able to continue our relationship for many years, and I've just appreciated him so much through those years. He speaks not only in this country, but has spoken internationally at camps and was scheduled to be here at Bethany Camp. He'll be back to speak to youth workers and to encourage them. And he has just introduced a new book. It was just published last month. And if I had it in front of me, I would read the title. But you can find that at the Welcome Center. If you hold that up, I could probably read it from here, Mel. The title is Going On for God. And that is something he's going to speak to us today. If you think about this being Mother's Day and think about the idea of going on for God, that is something that is so important for moms and grandmas to pass their faith on, to make sure that their children and their families know the Lord and see in their lives a love for the Lord and a passion for the Lord. So again, I'd like to welcome Mel Walker to our podium this morning as he shares God's word with us. Thank you, Mel.
Mark, thanks, man. Pastor Mark, thank you for the gracious invitation to be here. It's my privilege, and the Marsaros are good friends, and appreciate having dinner. Cindy, at your house last night, that was great. Great to see your family again. Happy Mother's Day. It's an honor for me to be here and celebrate Mother's Day with you. I thank God for the legacy in my family, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, but it's a great privilege to be here and to worship with you this morning, and thanks for your legacy and how God is using you and your church here in this community, in this area, and again, it's my privilege to be here. I come to you from Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. I and my family and I have lived there for several years. I just wrapped up a few months ago a ministry at Clark Summit University, which has been Baptist Bible College, which originally started in Johnson City, New York in 1932, and have been involved in that ministry, still involved in the ministry of Teen Leadership Conference, and also I have a nonprofit ministry that I started. It's called Vision for Youth. It's something that I've been doing for several years, training youth workers and then doing some writing and publishing and youth missions trips. And so I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I bring you greetings from my wife. It's Mother's Day, and we're not together. I'll tell you a little bit about my family. First of all, my wife's name is Peggy. We have been married for 41 years. Thank you. I think she deserves the applause for that one. But we actually got married on Friday the 13th. And I'm not sure all the reasons why, but somehow that took, and that was 41 years ago. And we met at Baptist Bible College. I am originally from northeastern Pennsylvania, and Peggy is from Iowa. The night of our wedding, tornadoes hit all around town, and we didn't care. We were getting married, and again, Friday the 13th, but it took. Peggy and I have three children. The business of raising kids, we'll talk about that a little bit today, is certainly all about the grace of God, right? I just want to emphasize, the Apostle John said in one of his epistles, there's no greater joy than to have your children walk in truth. Amen to that, right? By God's grace, all three of our children, just to help you get to know me a little bit, but all three of our children are in vocational ministry. which, again, I am so thankful for the grace of God. The ministry part is certainly a God thing, and I'm just thankful that they're going on for God and living for God. My daughter is a missionary in Berlin, Germany. Caleb, I got to tell you, your song, Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. I have been to Wittenberg and have stood behind Martin Luther's pulpit. I've been to the door where he pounded the 95 theses which God used to launch the Protestant Reformation and to change Europe and really change the world by God, again, God's grace. And so that was a great choice this morning. I'll tell you a little bit of Mel Walker trivia to get started. My daughter is a missionary. She's single. She is a missionary in Berlin with ABWE, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. She is a youth worker there in Berlin, and she actually works with teenagers and pre-teenagers from all over the world. It's really kind of amazing that in Berlin, Germany, an American English-speaking church plant is reaching kids from places like Iran and Iraq and Lebanon and countries that are closed to the gospel for American missionaries anyway. And so, it's a great thing. And Peggy and I have had a chance to visit in Europe several times. Right now, Christy is home on a year furlough. And so Peggy and Christy are traveling together this week. This weekend, Christy actually spoke at a women's conference yesterday in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So they're there, and we'll catch up tonight. But here's the trivia part. My daughter, I'm telling you about that. My daughter is the first girl in my family, in the Walker line, in five generations. I don't know how this happens, that somehow there's a genetic quirk or whatever. My grandpa Walker was one of 13 boys. Mother's Day, there's no wonder, right? My great-grandmother quit. I'm not going to get my girl. Enough's enough. 13. My grandma Walker married one of them, and he passed away early, so she married his brother. Like, why not? There's 12 more coming, right? It's still a little bit disconcerting. My parents are both in heaven now, but I'll go to the grave, and there's Grandma Walker in the middle. Her grave is there with a stone, and then Walker number one and Walker number two. It's a little bit odd. And then my dad's generation is all boys. I only have boy cousins. My older brother has only boys. I remember that the doctor, when Christy was born, said one phrase that has changed my life forever when she was born, and that was, "It's a girl." And I remember I called my dad, and I said, "Dad, it's a girl." He fainted. I say all of that for this, and parents, you'll understand this, I think. One of the hardest things that I have ever had to do is say goodbye to my little girl. Telling you that whole story, I want you to know my little girl's pretty important to me, right? And pretty important to the Walker clan. To stand at the airport and to say goodbye to my little girl when she sent all of her stuff 15 years ago almost to Berlin, a place where I had never been. She actually lives in what used to be East Germany. She lives behind the Iron Curtain, the old Iron Curtain. But if I'm going to travel around and tell your students and tell young people as I do, to do the will of God, it better be okay for me, right? Or I'd be a hypocrite at the top of my lungs. And so even though it's hard to let our kids do the will of God, it's pretty important that we allow them to do that. And again, it's the grace of God that our kids go on for God and live for God and serve God. And besides that, I get to take vacations in Europe. That's a pretty good deal. And guys, I got to tell you, I don't know why I said guys, but I got to tell you, driving on the Autobahn is a blast. It is. You can drive as fast as you can, but get out of the way. Somebody's got a better car than you. We were there a year or so ago, and my daughter and I went to rent a car for a little trip. Everything's so close in Europe. We go to the rental car place. The lady looks at me, says something in German, and leaves. And I said to Christy, I said, "What'd she say?" And Christy said, "This guy's big. He needs an upgrade." So Driving a BMW on the Autobahn is a blast. I just have to tell you that. I just want you to know. But I was driving as fast as I dared and scared out of my mind. And then the cars go blowing by or whatever. In the Walker tradition, I have two boys as well. My oldest son, Todd, is a missionary with Vision for Youth. He works at secular college campuses in northeastern Pennsylvania where we live. And they have five children, including identical twin boys that are 4 years old, which is a blast having identical twins. They're four, and they already know that they can confuse people, which is kind of interesting for Sunday school teachers and so on. But then they have two little girls, two little Walker girls. And then my youngest son, Travis, is a youth pastor in Iowa, and they have three children, including two little Walker girls as well. The girls, I think, know that they can get anything they want from Grandpa. I think they know that. It's funny how that works. And so we've kind of broken the Walker genetic, the male thing. And so I'm very thankful for our family and for our legacy as well. And so that's about our family. I thank God for how God's working in our family. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at a very familiar, frankly, Mother's Day verse. And then we're going to bounce off of that, use that as a springboard to our text. I want to talk with you this morning about the story in Scripture about a church kid. I told you about my family. I thank God for my legacy and my family. My parents are both in heaven now, but I thank God for being raised in a Christian home. I grew up as a church kid. I don't remember this, but I was in church the first Sunday I was ever alive. My parents were not ministry people. My dad actually retired from Sears and Roebuck, as he would call it, and he delivered furniture. He never finished high school because of World War II, but I thank God that my parents made church a priority, and I grew up as a church kid. I look back on my family. My daughter's been doing a little bit of our ancestry thing, which kind of scares the daylights out of me, because my family members that I know are weird enough. Let alone finding in other people. But I thank God for a legacy that spans generations in my family of believers and of people that were a part of God's work. And I'm very, very thankful for that as laymen and volunteers in the church. And I thank God for that. The young man that we're going to talk about this morning is Timothy. Timothy is one of my favorites. 2 Timothy, actually, is the last letter that we have in Scripture chronologically from the pen of the Apostle Paul. And I know you know this. Paul is writing 2 Timothy actually from a dungeon prison in Rome. He is writing this at the end of his life, at the end of his ministry. I think it's interesting, folks, that he is not writing this to a church, to a group of churches, to a peer, to a fellow scholar, or any of those things. He's writing 2 Timothy actually to a young man, to a student, to a young man that was just starting in ministry, Timothy. Paul realizes he's about to be martyred. The end of this book, 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished my course." So Paul recognizes that he is about at the end, and he writes to Timothy, and the letter is very personal. We're going to look at some things this morning that indicate that. And he is remembering some of the things that they went through together and some of the things about Timothy's life. And in that context, I want you to look at just simply this morning as we get started. And as I mentioned, this is a very typical Mother's Day verse. But we're going to use this as a springboard to look at Timothy, a young man that also grew up as a church kid and went up and grew up and to go on for God. And we're going to talk about that. But if you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, 2 Timothy 1, 5 says this. Remember, I said Paul is remembering here, and he writes this. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." I love that verse, and I know, ladies especially, it's Mother's Day, and I know that you've heard this verse a lot, and I can imagine that Paul, but also Timothy, thank God for the legacy of a godly mom and a godly grandma. And if you've had those kinds of influences in your life, then you understand that. And this verse talks about Lois and talks about Eunice, and it talks about their genuine faith. I love how the old King James puts it, that unfeigned, unfaked, authentic, genuine faith that certainly a godly mom, a godly grandmother instilled in Timothy. But folks, let me point out something to you about this verse. This is a very typical Mother's Day verse, and when Pastor Mark and I were talking about me coming this weekend, I thought about this verse right away, and it makes a lot of sense, the legacy of mom and grandma, and I thank God for those people in my family. I thank God for the influences. I really, really do. But I want to suggest to you that that's not the focus of this verse. The focus of this verse is Timothy. Twice in one verse, Paul writes about the genuine faith that was in Timothy's life. Let me read it again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So here's the point. Timothy was a church kid who grew up to go on for God. I know you know this, but I've been in a youth ministry insider for a long, long time. Do you know the number one time that people walk away from God and walk away from church is right after they graduate from high school? Number one time. And I know that in churches, some of you have those heartbreaks in your family. Again, I thank God for the grace of God and how God can intercede. And I talk about that in my book. I'll mention that here quickly in just a moment. But Timothy was a young man to grow up and to go on for God. And Pastor Mark talked a little bit about this, and I'm not here to hawk anything, but I just released this book. It's about 2 weeks old. It's called Going On for God, Encouraging the Next Generation to Grow Up and Go On for God. I am absolutely convinced that as a church and as parents that we have a responsibility to reproduce our faith, if you will, in the lives of the next generation. And I want you to know that I'm passionate about stories in Scripture like Timothy. Timothy grew up as a church kid with a godly mom and a godly grandma and went on for God. But I want you to understand that there are practical things, intentional things, that we need to build into our lives as churches. And so in my book, I talk about church leaders. I talk about families. I talk about what happens if that's not the case and how God's grace is in the business of bringing prodigals back to Himself. And I thank God even for some of the bumps that I went through along my way, that God used in my life to bring me back and so on. And those books are out there at the Welcome Center. You can stop. They're $15. You can just leave the money. That's fine with me, and we can work that out. But this is one of those stories that I want to talk with you about. I mentioned I'm going to use this verse as a springboard. So let's do that. I want you to turn quickly to two other passages, and the second of which then we're going to talk about for our message this morning. But we're introduced to Timothy in the Scriptures back in Acts chapter 16. We're introduced to Timothy in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 16. And if you turn back with me quickly there, well, let's look at the background of when Paul actually meets Timothy. Acts 16 beginning at verse 1. Acts 16 beginning at verse 1 says this, "Then he, the Apostle Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, a student was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed." And now we know the rest of that story, as Paul Harvey used to say, of Eunice and Lois. We know about that. But then, listen to this, "But his father was Greek." The idea there in the language is that of the text is that this was somewhat of a dysfunctional family. At least there was a cross-cultural background that was there. The indication is perhaps that Timothy's father was not a believer, and yet out of that dysfunctional family, God did something great, and Timothy grew up to go on for God, and we're going to talk about that this morning. So let me just pause here and say, I certainly am a fan, and have mentioned this three or four times already this morning, of the grace of God and how God can work even from humanly dysfunctional families. How God can work, and I'm very, very thankful for that, how God can intercede. And Timothy was one of those young men that grew up as a church kid, were introduced to him here as that, a church kid, and had some dysfunction in his family, and yet God used his mom, his grandma, and other things, as we're going to talk about in just a minute. Verse 2, he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go on with him on this missionary journey, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders. And then verse 5 says this, So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And so God used the influence of the apostle Paul and others also in Timothy's life. And that brings us to the point, a few minutes that we have left. If you go back with me now back to 2 Timothy, I'm going to look at one passage in 2 Timothy that identifies some of the influences in young Timothy's life. Again, please remember that Timothy's mom and grandma had this godly influence in his life, but also that he had some human dysfunction in his background, and yet God worked. God prepared him for a ministry here in 2 Timothy, where he was serving in a very cross-cultural community of Ephesus as the pastor, and God used those influences of Paul and others in Timothy's life. So quickly, for the rest of our time, let's look at 2 Timothy 3, now that we've got the background of Timothy established. And please follow along with me. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to look at verse 10 down through 17. Verse 10 down through 17. And I'm going to identify quickly this morning four influences in Timothy's life that helped him grow up and go on for God. Four influences quickly. But let me read the passage. But you have, Paul writes, 2 Timothy 3, beginning of verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, perseverance, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things you have learned and has been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then this familiar verses for sure. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's our passage. What I want to do this morning is share with you four basic influences, if you will, that God used in Timothy's life to help him grow up and go on for God. And number one, certainly from this passage, is the influence of godly mentors. Godly mentors. If you look at this passage that I just read, there are principles built into this passage, like right away in verse 10. It says there, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, and then manner of life, purpose, and so on. We'll talk about some of those things in a moment. Look at the phrase, carefully followed. In the language, the idea is almost like to trace a pattern. When I was a kid, my mom was a very talented seamstress. She would go to these fabric stores and buy these little packets of things that had this thin paper, and she'd unfold it and cut around, and it'd be the pattern for something. And she would, you know, take a pair of scissors and cut that out in cloth, and who knew that you could turn all those, you know, turn that stuff into clothing. But my mom knew how to do that. carefully followed. One of the things that I think that helped Timothy grow up and go on for God was the influence of godly mentors in his life. Drop down a few verses. Verse 14, he says, Paul writes, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them." I think Timothy, as he grew up, looked back at his life and was very thankful for people that influenced his life, right? If you, folks, if you grew up in church, if you grew up as a church kid, and in America, most people come to Christ when they're young, so I'm assuming that a lot of us here this morning grew up as church kids too. I'm making an assumption. Not everybody probably, but a lot of us here did. If you grew up, look back in your life, think in your mind. Aren't you thankful for people that were a part of your life that influenced your life? Certainly I would put my mom, my dad at the top of that list. It's Mother's Day. And I thank God for the influence of my grandparents, both sides of the family. But there's a couple things here that I want to point out about Timothy's life, and I've mentioned these already, so I just want to highlight them. Number one is those of us that grew up in Christian homes, we need to thank God for that kind of influence, right? My daughter's a missionary in Berlin, Germany, and she often tells me that she's very, very thankful for the legacy in our home and how the things that we did or the things even that I did helped prepare her for that kind of ministry, and I thank God for that. But I think also that there's something just to be reminded that Timothy grew up in a dysfunctional family, that not everybody had that godly influence in his life. And I write about this in my book about the importance of other godly mentors. Again, I keep saying this morning. I want you to know I emphasize this in my family. I thank God for the grace of God. And all three of our children are in vocational ministry. And I'm going to smile and say, I'd like to think that Peggy and I had something to do with it. But to tell you the truth, a lot of the reason why my kids are in ministry is the influence of other godly adults in the churches where we attended who impacted the little Walker kids when they were growing up. And I thank God for those kinds of people. Youth pastors and Sunday school teachers. And so those kinds of people that had a big influence in the lives of my kids. I look back in my life and I'm very, very thankful for the influence of other godly people. And folks, that's one of the great reasons for the church. It's because it's here that other people can influence us. And that's one of the great reasons for the local church is all of us working together, as Ephesians said, compacted by that which every joint supplies. Look back, if you grew up in young people's in church and all of that, your life is lined with those people, right? Can I tell you about a couple quickly in my life? I need to tell you about Rosemary Clark. Rosemary Clark was the Child Evangelism Fellowship missionary who led me to Christ when I was 5 years old. Rosemary Clark. I thought she was the tallest woman I'd ever met in my life back then. I hadn't seen her since, this will be an indication of my age, I hadn't seen Rosemary since the early 1960s until just a few years ago. When my daughter was on deputation, actually met Rosemary, and they made the connection that she's the lady that led her dad to Christ. We drove out in the middle of nowhere, out in the Pocono Mountains. She lives in a trailer surrounded by woods and deer. And I had a chance to thank Rosemary Clark for sharing the gospel with little Mel Walker. There was a day when I was little. Little Mel Walker. And the lesson that, it was a Tuesday night, I tagged along with my older brother. The lesson was on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that day, little Mel Walker, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed Christ. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I am one of those kids that grew up to go on for God. Rosemary Clark. I need to tell you about Mr. Williams in my life. Mr. Williams was my junior high boys Sunday school teacher. Junior high boys. I thought Mr. Williams was the grouchiest old man I'd ever met in my life. I thought he was. I know you would never do this. I know you wouldn't. But I would go home Sunday afternoon and complain about Mr. Williams to my dad. I would go home and I would, Mr. Williams, looking back, even telling you the story, Mr. Williams, every single Sunday school class, every single Sunday morning would start class by saying, "Now, boys and girls," and it was junior high boys. To this day, I don't know if he didn't know or if he was picking on us. I don't know. I would go home and say, "Dad, you can't believe Mr. Williams." And my dad said, "He starts class every Sunday by saying, 'Now, boys and girls.'" And I said, "Yeah, Dad, but Mr. Williams had this bad habit, junior high boys. He would look around in class and he'd say, 'Say your memory verse.'" And my dad knew he did that. And he had this other bad habit that every week he would check to see if we did our Sunday school lessons. Remember those days? And my dad knew about that. And I'm like, "Dad, what gives?" My dad starts to nod. And he says, my dad had me, when my parents had me, my dad was 29 years old. And my dad started to nod and he said, "Mr. Williams was my junior high boy Sunday school teacher too." Mr. Williams taught junior high boys in my home church that entire time. You'll meet him in heaven. He'll be in the front row. Don't you think junior high boys for all those years with guys like me in his youth group, don't you think he deserves to be in the front row? Junior high boys, faithful to what God had for him as a layman. He was did masonry work with brick and block, and that's what he did for a living, and he taught junior high boys for all of those years. Pastor Mark, I was in a pastor's conference a couple years ago in Florida. Some of you don't have, but Mark does. Pastor's conference. We all had to wear name tags. My name tag, Mel Walker, Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. I meet this older guy in the hallway. He says, "You're from Clark Summit. We're in Florida." He says, I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania too. Come to find out, not Clark Summit, he's from my hometown. He's from my hometown. We're talking about people that we knew. We're talking about all of that. Talking about, "Did you know my parents?" Out of the blue, this guy, this older gentleman in the hallway in Florida says to me, "Hey, did you ever know Mr. Williams?" This guy was a lot older than my dad, a lot older than my dad. And Mr. Williams was his junior high boys. Yeah, deserves to be in the front row of heaven. Faithful over the long. Right? Timothy grew up with godly mentors. Paul writes, you can carefully follow. I thank God for parents. I thank God for moms. But I also thank God for the church and church people. Invest in younger people and be a part of that discipling and mentoring process that the Scripture talks about. And Timothy grew up and had this list of people. Now, I'm going to go through the rest of it very quickly, but this is point number one, but I'm going to stop right here and give you the zinger for the day, okay? This is the shot. I'm warning you ahead of time. This is it right now. This is it. You look back in your life, if you grew up in church, if you grew up as a believer, undoubtedly you have people in your life like Rosemary Clark, like Mr. Williams. There were people in your life who impacted your life, your parents would be on that list, and so on. Now here's the zinger. You ready? Who are those people in your church, in this church, that if this guy, like me, shows up and say, "Hey, look back," that you would be on their list? That they would tell me about you. I told you it was the zinger, right? But that's one of the great things about the church is, yeah, I thank God for family. My book, I talk about families, but I also talk about the influence of the church, that even from dysfunctional families, that we can be a family and we can encourage young people. And I thank God for the people, and I've told you about a couple of them. I could tell you about a lot more people that invested in my life, that cared enough about these young people that are growing up to go on for God. They invested in my life. Timothy had those people. Paul was one of those people, godly mentors. Number two, quickly, there's another life influence that was here, and I'm just going to call this balanced life experiences. Paul and Timothy went through some things together. They did. Paul writes about that. Says, you've carefully followed the pattern of my doctrine, my teaching, my manner of life, purpose, faith. But then he writes about things like long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. And there's some indication that Timothy went through some of those things with Paul. And then there's some indication, it seems as if, that Paul had the kind of ministry that he told Timothy about some of those things that he went through in his life. So Paul is writing, and he writes about Timothy, remember some of those things that we went through together, and remember those things that I told you. And I think here's the point, and that is Christianity, one of the great things about a relationship with Jesus Christ, one of the greatest things about our faith, one of the greatest things about our genuine faith, is that it impacts every area of our life. Paul didn't write just about doctrine and about manner of life, but he wrote about persecutions and afflictions. And Christianity, our faith, our genuine faith is real, even when things get hard. Right? That's when genuine faith kicks in. Real faith kicks in. And Timothy got this letter, and he's reading the letter, and he's remembering. I remember, Paul, you told me that story. I remember those things that we went through. There were some good times, but there were some hard times. Genuine faith. And isn't that what we want for the next generation, for our people, for our kids that grow up, is for their faith to be real and good times? We sang about that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We go through hard times and we go through good times, that our faith is real during those situations as well. I'm going to move on quickly, but I want you to notice one thing which always, always, always motivates me and challenges me from this passage. Look at verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Gulp. I just wrote a book going on for God. And then I read where the Bible says that all those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Have you paid any attention to the news this week? Don't you think that this day is coming? Don't you? That those who desire to live godly will face persecution. There are places in the world. Boy, a mighty fortress is our God. Martin Luther was jailed and was the persecution of what, out of that, what launched the Great Reformation. Caleb sang about that this morning. All those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. And I think the point is that it's during times like that when genuine faith, when real faith kicks in. And I'm telling you, I'm a guy that has my daughter, the first girl in my family in five generations, who grew up telling me, Dad, I want to be a missionary. And she moved to Germany, and it's not easy. 98% of Germans do not claim to have a relationship with God. It's not easy. It's a hard place with over a million Muslim refugees in Germany, many of whom walked from Syria. So my daughter's going through this as well. And again, I think those balanced life experiences made Timothy understand that faith needs to be real, and genuine faith kicks in even during hard times. Number three, quickly. Number three, I love this about the passage, and we've talked about this already. Consistent family practices. Look at verse 14 and 15. You must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. And then this, then from childhood. The word is infant there, from infancy, from the earliest days. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. from childhood. I love the fact, this is Mother's Day, that one of the things Timothy's mom, Timothy's grandma did right is they taught the Word of God to the young Timothy as he was growing up. And they put God's Word into his mind, because God's Word is when life gets hard, when life gets difficult, and we're going through those difficult times, to realize that God's Word applies to life and that God's Word does impact every area of our life. And that's an important point to understand. And Timothy's mom encouraged that. And even, again, take heart, even out of dysfunctional family, God uses the example of your genuine faith to impact the next generation. I love that about this story. And then that brings us to one final influence, and these two things go together. And the last one that I want to talk with you about is life-related scriptures. Look at verse 16 and 17. All scripture. Most familiar verses in this book, probably. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete, may be mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And folks, verse 17, isn't that what we want for our lives? Isn't that what we want for our young people? And I think here's the point. God's Word relates to life. Every aspect of our lives. And that's another great thing about our faith, but about the church, is that you're part of a church that teaches, that proclaims the Word of God. And one of the reasons it's so important is it tells us about God, it tells us about how we should live, but it impacts our lives. And I think Timothy understood all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired, but it's practical. For doctrine, this is the way to walk, for reproof. This is what happens when you get off the path. We need that for correction, how to fix that problem. And then the step-by-step instructions in right living and righteousness. I think that's the idea. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we can teach our kids, this is the next step because God's Word says it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word tells us what the next step is. Timothy grew up with a godly mom. Happy Mother's Day. He grew up with a godly grandma. Happy Grandmother's Day. He grew up in a dysfunctional family, but he was a young man that grew up to go on for God. And I think some of these influences that we've looked at today make a lot of sense, and it's very practical to realize God used godly mentors, God used balanced life experiences, God used consistent family practices, and God certainly used the Scriptures, because there may come a time when we go through hard times, when we go through difficult times, the next generation, and that genuine faith kicks in during those times. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my heart today. The book is out there on the table. If you want it, you can just leave the money. But thanks for listening, and I hope you understand my heart, and that is for all of us, you and the next generation and me and my children, my grandkids, is that we'll be people that go on for God. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this familiar story of Timothy, and it's certainly what we read in the beginning is certainly a great Mother's Day verse. But God, I understand. We understand that not everybody here is a mom. And not everybody here had godly influences. And that makes us realize that as a church, we can have that kind of influence in the lives of other people. The importance of other godly mentors. And Father, the importance, help us never to forget that of your word that relates to every area of our life, every life experience. And God, I just thank you for this story in Scripture, and help us to take the practicality to heart and to our lives for your glory for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.